I'm hitting record. Now record has been hit. And we're late, Phil. Okay, well.
So you could play partial scramble, full scramble, but is there over easy? Can you play over easy?
Oh, that's funny, Phil.
That's actually, you know what? That's not bad. That is not bad.
No, okay. We're going to play Benedict.
Everything's a mess.
What is today? June 7th. Wow. All right.
Yeah, this is when you want time to slow down now.
Yeah, exactly. What did you ask me? You asked me how long that client had been on. Yeah, it's like March, April. No, March, April, May. Yeah, May. 3 months. Yeah. Today, more nonsense and merriment. Share on your timeline. No, share on your page. All right. Phyllis, are you ready?
I think I am.
I don't know if you are.
I don't know.
Preparing. Meeting is now streaming live on the Facebooks, but not the Twitter. Here we go.
The following episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Clear Air Solutions, Palma Pasta, SafeTech Security, NextHome.ca, DraftKings, Red Light Holland, City Parent, and our newest sponsor, HealthGage, providing digital solutions to improve health outcomes. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, our Twitter handle is HumbleFredRadio. And now from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Yeah. Here are Humble and Fred. Humble and Fred. Have you heard of this podcast, Smartless? Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I have, Howard.
I enjoy it. Yeah, I think you'd enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I listened to it as I was going to sleep last night. It was the guy that developed Arrested Development.
Yes, I heard it.
Had you heard that one? Mitch Hurwitz or whatever?
Yes, funny guy.
Really funny.
Yes.
And you know what? The other two guys, like Will Arnett and Jason Bateman, it's a very good episode for them because it's the guy that they used to work for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even Sean Hayes had a good episode. Not always the biggest fan, but he had a decent episode.
I watched the other night. I was scrolling through the television.
The what?
The television.
Television.
The television guide. And I saw Will and Grace and I put it on and I actually saw him on that show.
Yeah.
So I could put a face and a character to what he is on Smartless. That's what I did. Yep. That's what I did.
Good for you. He, you know, the guy, Eric. The guy, Will, on that show, he's Canadian. He's from Toronto, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is great. Humble and Fred just discover Will and Grace. I've been rewatching 30 Rock with Tina Fey. Mm-hmm. So funny. Mm-hmm. Really good.
You know what? The other night, too, there was, I forget what channel had an All in the Family. You don't see All in the Family
a
lot now. They've backed off, but there was some channel, I guess maybe out of the States or something, had some kind of a marathon, and man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, really clever.
The stuff he said then.
Well, yeah, because of all the racism and stuff, yeah.
But we've talked about that a million times. Yeah. Here's the deal on podcasts. Talking about lying in bed and listening to podcasts, the past couple of nights, The Quick and the Dirty I've been listening to. You know what that is?
I do not, sir. I don't
That's
know what
Sandra
you're talking
Plagakis.
About. Oh, yes, of course I know. Yeah, very it's, well done.
Oh, it's excellent. And I feel bad now. Oh, Hillary Welch is her co-host.
Yeah, I've heard it. It's very good.
Oh, man, the subject matter. Like, I mean, it's for women, middle-aged women, I guess.
Which is why you and I like it.
No, it's just Sandra is so goddamn funny.
Yeah.
And she talks about going through her divorce and sleeping in separate beds and how she thinks a king size bed was the beginning of the end of their marriage because they didn't have that closeness. I mean, that's just a little bit. And then talking about now being on the open market, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's this is high quality stuff.
No, it's very well done.
And I want to give a shout out to her. And I'm not surprised. I mean, she's brilliant. I mean, she is.
No,
she's a great broadcaster. She really is.
Well, she has a rare combination of being you know, very good delivery, obviously. She's really authentic. You know, when you're listening to Sandra and you talk to her, we had her on the show a couple of weeks ago, you know, you're actually talking to that person, not a version of that person. You know what I mean? Like, you actually are getting the straight goods from her. I mean, and she has a way of crafting a story that, you know, I think goes back to working with the Humble and the Friends, you know, back in the day.
But they had one episode on with an exhibitionist, a woman that likes to have sex in front of other people, and she talked about her and her partner going to hedonism and all that. It's just the comments that Sandra was making. I was like laughing out loud.
You were lolling? Right? Were you doing a little lolling? La, la, la. Hey, but Freddie.
It's well done and way to go, Sandra, and it's a recommend.
You know, we should have done this when we had her on the show a couple weeks ago. She started this business where she their boxes, the subscription box business. Anyway, go back and Phyllis, when was that?
I think it was about 3 weeks to a month
ago. It was about Phil. Excuse me, Phil. Was it about 3 weeks ago with that?
I believe that I was in the condo in
Tresemme.
You know, guys, every day, every goddamn day. Okay, now take it from here, Phil. Don't send him that part. Every day, more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Health Canada approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctors' offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. Every dose brings us closer to what we've missed, so join millions of Ontarians. Do your part and get your shot. Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccine. Paid for by the government of Ontario. I'm adding that back in, okay?
All right.
Just so you know, I've had some conferences and that is going back in. Okay. Big show today. Bill Brio will be with us. He'll be with us talking television, Phil. You like a TV?
I like the television.
You like the TV, man? Hey, speaking of podcasts, Graham, no last name, just Graham, says, hello, people.
Hello, people.
Attached is a screenshot of what Spotify told me about my listening habits. My morning commute is generally listening to you guys. And it's a screen cap, and Spotify says, playing Humble and Fred in the morning is pretty much the most you thing ever. And he sent that along. He also says, one thing I'm curious about, Howard, that's me, you got MasterClass, actually, Charlie. My daughter bought it for me for Christmas, like a good little Jewish daughter. He says, you got it as a gift from your daughter. Yes, I'm curious to your feedback on what you thought about the program. And I can tell you honestly, I watched a bunch of master classes January, February, and maybe into the early part of March. And I haven't looked at it since. But this will you might find this of interest. Wayne Gretzky has been added. And I'm because there's Steve Martin. I did a couple of Chef Ramsay's,
right?
But I'm gonna check out the Gretzky one because I'm curious to see what his take on sports and psychology and all that stuff is.
Well, he's a master. I was reading something. Was I reading or did you actually tell me this last week?
I don't know.
Well, Wayne Gretzky just talking about the difference between the regular season.
Yes.
And the playoffs. No. Is that you?
I can't remember.
Anyway.
I don't know.
No, but you wonder why he was one of the greatest of all time. Because, of course, they were talking about the Leafs and how, you know, they were regular season warriors. And then absolutely caved in the playoffs.
Heinous.
And he said he knew that all season long. You know, there were areas of the ice that he could have during the regular season. And he knew the minute the playoffs started that those areas wouldn't be available. So what do I do to get around that? And he solved it. You know, and sort of a direct criticism of the Maple Leafs. And I know those guys are young, but still, it's you can't complain about it. You can't turtle and you can't give up. You must adjust.
Well, excuse me. Well, I'm curious to check out his masterclass because when I think about Gretzky and I, you know, I was still sort of into watching hockey a lot more in the early 80s because I was in Calgary and it was a big rivalry and I just was still into it a lot more than I am now. And I saw it a lot. I watched a lot of Gretzky hockey. One of the things I never considered or didn't till later was just how smart he is as an athlete. Just in general, what he must know. Because we always think about Gretzky like a lot of people, like, you know, Tiger or whatever. They're just highly skilled, gifted athletes. But Wayne Gretzky was a smart guy, smart hockey player. You know, his hockey sense or his hockey IQ was high, as you would expect.
Well, yeah, that whole thing about knowing where the puck is going to be. I mean, having that sense that not everyone has.
Right.
But, you know, he had that ability, but it's what you said, too. It's just he was brilliant. Like, every game was a different adventure from him. It was tactics, and what do I do to break through? And he just did it. And, yeah, and he played on a great team and everything, but, you know, wasn't his fault.
I've never asked this question of you, maybe, or anyone. What was your opinion of him as a hockey coach? Like, how would you categorize him? Was he decent? Was that not his thing? It wasn't the same.
Well, he wasn't very successful, but I think there's a long list of great athletes that have failed. Not failed so much as weren't successful as coaches for whatever reason.
Different skill set, I think.
Yeah, different expectations, maybe.
No.
Maybe thinking. It was like, you know, remember I was in Peterborough?
Way up ahead of us.
Assuming everybody at the radio station wanted the same thing you did,
yeah,
you know, and maybe a guy like Gretzky, it's like it's frustrating for those guys to coach players who, number one, don't have their talent
or the same drive,
to get better, right?
Well. Very interesting. Anyway, Gretzky, thank you for that note. I would say the master class is worth it. It's not cheap. You know, it's a couple hundred bucks for the year. But there's so many programs. And part of the thing is I hadn't really thought about it much until I saw that Gretzky had one. I mentioned Bill Brio, of course, Dan Duran and the news later. Phil Hong, your background's changed. Are you actually doing this podcast now, like on your bed? Is that where you are?
I'm still in my bedroom where I was last week.
And where's Mrs. Hong?
Oh, she's asleep in the other room. We have two bedrooms for quarantine. And so one is for working, one is for sleeping. And so I'm in the working room.
So when this show's over, do you just like, maybe crawl back into the warm bed?
She comes on over. She says, "Can I have a refill of tea?" And I'm like, "Oh, yes, I'll put on the kettle for you."
Oh,
okay.
Is that sex talk, though?
Is that a euphemism?
A bit of black tea and biscuits. Hey.
So what is the biscuits?
It's cream filled, you know, those biscuits.
All right, Phil. Come on. We're talking about Mrs. Hong.
Yeah, she does have a cup of tea in the morning. It's our tradition now.
Oh, okay.
Well, she must have felt quite at home this weekend. A nice Cambodian weekend as far as weather goes, right? Like hot, humid?
Mm-hmm.
The hilarious thing is she was actually hotter than she was in Cambodia because there was a good Canadian thing that we go through, a Canadian tradition called Humidex. And so she looked at the forecast on Saturday and went, it's only the early 30s. It's fine. And then Humidex was 40 on Saturday. So she's just like... air conditioning, please. So she's becoming a little more Woodbridger as
we Hong, 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 so long. Hong, 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 she's been hong so long. She's been hong, 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 so long. Hong, 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 she's been hong so long. She's been hong, 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 so long. Hong, 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 so long. Hong, 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 so long. Hey, Freddie P., what about the Chamber Plan? We got to talk about them, and then we got to talk about the fact that we're playing in the Brett Tanner Financial Services Charity Golf Classic today.
Yes, Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one plan for, group benefits plan for small business. You can get a free quote today. Go to chamberplan.ca. It's all there. Tell them what your company's all about, its size, what you need, and believe me, they'll come up with a plan for you, all different shapes and sizes and costs, of course. But they can do it for you, and it's fantastic. You know, 30,000 Canadian businesses have been part of this thing for 40 years. It's a brilliant idea, and it's allowed so many people to have benefits who work for small companies. You might otherwise think, wouldn't qualify for a benefits package? Well, you can. It's fantastic. It's very simple to sign up. As I say, go to chamberplan.ca, get a free quote. It's stable. They've been around for 40 years. And the smart thing to do for your employees is prescriptions. You know, it's a dental plan. You know.
You know.
All sorts of other things. There's therapies, the best doctors program, the Teladoc system. Yeah, it's all there. Take some time. Have a look. Chamberplan.ca. Do your employees a favor. Get on it.
Yeah, we're going to golf, you and I, for the first time today, this year, I should say, and I'm quite looking forward to it. Listen, before I forget, does Slammin' Baby John, does he need any more golf balls, or is he good? Or?
Well, I'll have to ask. I don't think so. He's got the net in the backyard, and, you know, we haven't got him back to the driving range. Okay. Since it reopened, because he's been... That's otherwise right. Occupied, but yeah.
I got a note here from a senior investment advisor who is going to be in our group today. Somehow, I guess he was invited and found out he was playing with you and I, humbly and friendly. He said, hey, looking forward to golfing with you Monday. And Howard, your long ago buddy from the National, it's a golf course I used to play on. A guy named Greg Ugolini, great player, former club champion. He said, I mentioned to him today we're golfing in a charity event, and he recounted some stories. So I can't wait to find out what those stories are. You know, when somebody says they've got a humble Howard story, it's never like, yeah, the time that you rescued that dog from the river. Mm-hmm. You know, it's usually something different. Why don't I just go? Am I blurry now? Can you guys?
Yeah. Why'd you go blurry?
I think it's those stories from the National.
I have no earthly idea.
Clouding the lens.
Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything. Oh, there we go.
There you
go. That was weird.
It's automatic focus.
Focus.
Focus. It's automatic focus, but it's just the first time it's ever automatically focused since we've been doing the show.
Uh-huh. That's right. It's never, happened before.
It's clouding over the lens.
Yeah, anyway. I can't. Well, so it'll be good, you know. I'd be like, hey, man, I heard there was one time that you threw all your clubs in the water, and then another time.
Didn't. Wait a minute.
What?
Let's talk about some of those stories.
We haven't got time.
No, let's speculate on what they might be. Now, clubs in the water?
True. Oh, yeah.
False.
True.
What? Yeah. All your clubs?
Not all of them. Just... There was one, there's a little pond near the third green that probably, unless they've taken them out of there, probably has at least three of my golf clubs. just literally tomahawked them into the pond.
Oh, because you missed a putt?
No, it was a wedge.
So what would happen in a situation like that? See, I would do the cost factor.
Right? No, I know you would.
Like, I'd want to do it, but I'd think I'm not going to throw, like, a couple hundred bucks into the pond.
Well, no, it wasn't.
Were you being supplied with clubs at the time?
No,
you could be this willy-nilly?
No. No, I was not. So that could be a story.
Yeah.
There's some stories about how much time I spent practicing. People found that. A curiosity that I could, that I had some kind of obsessive nature where I would just stand. One of the stories that maybe he doesn't know, but guys would be teeing off on one and I would be practicing and you can see the players coming up the ninth fairway onto the ninth green. I'd still be there a couple hours later. Then they would go and finish the back nine and come up and having a drink on the patio and I would still be there practicing.
Well, that's why you're so good. You're obsessive when it comes to stuff like that.
Wow.
And practice makes perfect. Was there any sort of like Caddyshack type stuff?
What do you mean?
Conflict.
Oh, of course. You know, the Nationals where I had the fight with Gil Moore.
Oh, right.
You know, sure.
That's cool.
The Nationals where I once scraped my 5-iron on the way home. I took my 5-iron out of the car. I told everyone that I'd leave. Right. Don't take all my clubs. Let me have that one club. And I tortured it on the way home. Yeah.
Because it was the club's fault.
It was.
Yeah. And then Vaughn taxpayers had to pay for the rope.
Now, let's get back to the Gil Moore thing. Because, you know, the drummer of Triumph, was it?
Yes, that's a drummer of Triumph.
Did it actually get physical?
It was going to, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was ready to take a. I was ready to take a shot. You know, take a shot at the champion.
And let's set the scene here. What could possibly happen on a golf hole that you would almost get into a physical confrontation with Gilmore? What
while playing with the lunatic fringe guy Tom Cochran? I don't remember how it's.
Wait a minute, Tom Cochran witnessed this?
He's the one that broke up the fight. I've told you that story.
I know, Howard, but most of the people listening have not heard the story.
Oh, I think they have.
We can't tease them. Come on.
Well,
so what happened?
Well, Gil and I were friendly. We didn't hang around much off the golf course, but we played a lot of golf together. We practiced a lot of golf together, and you know, there was a bit, you know, obviously very competitive. He's a very competitive guy. You don't get to be a world-class musician without having some of that obsessiveness as well. And I used to call Gil my range buddy because we would be on the range for hours and hours talking golf, working on stuff. Mm-hmm. And so there was a natural rivalry. And this one day, there was some chirping going back and forth. And you know how guys are. You know, it starts off lighthearted and then it becomes a little bit more serious. And at some point, you know, whether it was... And by the way, this actually took place on the golf course on the 18th tee. So we'd played the entire day, but I guess there had been some sniping and whatever. And at some point, I said something and he said something back. And then it got elevated and it was like, all right, it's go time. And so,
really?
Oh, yeah. And I can't say exactly what was the trigger, but all I remember in my, the way I remember it was that Tom got in between us and was physically keeping us apart and saying things like, come on, you guys, you know, you're friends. This is ridiculous. And I'm like, looking, and he's like, looking. And I did remember thinking and how surreal this was, that the drummer from Triumph was being held by the guy who wrote Lunatic Fringe, and I'm some douchebag from Moose Jaw wanting to hit the guy from Triumph. Oh, yeah. It's quite something.
Who was the fourth? Gino Vanelli?
No, the singer from the Bells. Guess I'm going to stay with you a while. Anyway.
That's a great story. And obviously you've since made up because he's actually been on this podcast. Remember back in the early days, he came in one day.
Oh, yeah. It was a silly thing and it was over immediately and we apologized and all that stuff. And, you know, Tom's a very, very good player. Tom plays at a high level and he loves his golf and, you know, yeah. It's one of those things that
happened. Silly. I mean, how silly was it? Two grown men at one of the most famous golf courses in Canada fighting on the 18th hole.
Yeah.
Not that big a deal.
Not a big deal. That's what you
do. And in Tom's mind, was life really a highway?
Yeah, that's right.
Two high-profile personalities, which you were at the time.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Hey, speaking of, we were talking about hockey, and I forgot to ask you, are you, what happened to the team that beat your team? Are they still playing the playoffs?
They've now won 6 games in a row. They've won 6 in a row. They're up 3 games on the Winnipeg Jets.
Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel?
I only see the scores, right? I'm not
right.
I won't watch a minute of the Habs in the playoffs when the Leafs aren't in, and especially when they're doing well. I can only hope that they get crushed in the next round. By the way, the federal government will announce today they're going to open the borders for the American team to come back and forth once it gets to that point.
Really?
So if it's the Montreal Canadiens, which it looks like it's going to be, they will be able to travel to the States, and whatever American team they play will be allowed to come to Canada.
Are you surprised, by the way, before I comment on that, are you surprised that the Habs handled the Jets the way they did?
Yeah, but it just shows you, it's all about teamwork and systems and adjusting to the playoffs, the playoff format, everything we talked about.
Right, with Gretzky, yeah.
They've done it. And, yeah, I'm very surprised.
Not to mention, winning requires luck in any sport, but in hockey, there's a whole confluence of things that have to come together. And it's a weird thing, but if your goalie gets good or hot at the right time, you know, as has happened in many other playoff runs, that's a bit of luck that just goes your way, right? And I think maybe Carey Price has gotten hot at the right time.
not only has he gotten hot, but, you know, he just exudes this confidence and coolness that I think filters right through the team. The guys know with him back there,
mm-hmm.
everything's going to be all right. And that's great. I mean, it's working for them and super. And you know what it's all about? What do they say? You know, goaltending wins championships.
Yeah.
And on and on and on.
But
and
you think about the luck that has to happen. And again, I don't want to, I know you've had 50,000 years of making excuses for the Leafs, but, you know, from what I saw and the couple of games I saw, mm-hmm. it's not that they're terrible. They're a very talented bunch of kids. Maybe they don't have the intangible grit that you'd like them to have, but they're talented. And who knows if their goaler guy, Campbell, is that his name?
Yes.
I mean, if he had gotten a little bit of a break here or there, and you never know. I mean, because momentum is also a thing in the playoffs. And as you said, right. if there's a confidence in the guy behind you, it gives your team a different lift.
Mm-hmm. You know, game of inches, game 5 and 6 went into overtime with a break that, you know, we could be talking about the Leafs playing Winnipeg, yeah. but we're not. And the thing is with the Maple Leafs, I mean, the Canadians seem to have a lot of heart. They're playing for each other and they don't give up and they go into the corners. And this weekend, sort of a post-mortem up here at the trailer park with all the guys who are with Leaf fans. You know, I kept hearing the same line from guys, basically. And I know it's emotion at this point. It's like, I'm done. If they don't care,
yeah.
meaning the team, why should I care? And that kept ringing true to me. They have a lot to prove going forward. I mean, they lost. Listen, you can lose with a fight and lose the way they did,
mm-hmm.
even. And the way they lost, the way they sort of just gave up the last three games, doesn't sit well. And it was good. And I was talking to Jeff Lumbee over the weekend because I was trying to explain to him how he could watch the games. There are certain ways he can watch them in France. And we hardly talked about the Habs.
Yeah. That's good. We're going to keep that stuff off the table. We talked
about nice things, huh?
I don't know if we have time before Bill Briox, B-R-I-O-U-X. I don't know if we have time to fully get into this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the biggest stories in sport on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Well,
what happened?
Well, for the last year, the PGA Tour has conducted, I think, 50 golf tournaments since the restart after COVID shut down all sports in March of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And four times in that period of time, players have tested positive in the course of playing the tournament and protocol, and they had a whole policy in place mm-hmm. that with a positive test, you were to withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
But in all of the different scenarios, Phil, that the PGA Tour could have imagined, the worst case came up on Saturday. Not only was the guy leading the golf tournament, John Rahm, number three player in the world, high, high profile athlete. He was leading by 6. And it was a complete, as you would say, schlamazel. They told him on the 18th green. He came off the course. I don't know if you saw any pictures. It was like, and I that's why I say there's a lot to unpack here, Fred. But the top line is why they told him there and not somewhere away from the crowd is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the worst case they could have imagined because a 6-shot lead, you know, his final round scoring average is 73. So the worst he would have shot the next day is 73, and he would have won by 5 because the guys that he was leading by also shot over par. Anyway, it was a weird thing, and I'm not sure. You have heard about it.
Yeah, I did. To tell you the truth, yes, I did. I was reading about it yesterday, and I found it quite shocking.
Yeah. You know what shocked me? That they're all not fucking vaccinated. That shocked me. I'll be honest with you. It really did. I was a bit disappointed with my favorite sport.
Mm-hmm. Are some of them not want to be vaccinated? Are they like...
Well, Frederick, I have a buddy I've gotten to know recently, a golf guy, works with a couple tour players, and he lives in Philadelphia, but he's a sort of a Democrat, sort of sensible guy, smart man. And he and I were talking about this last night. I said, why do you think so, like, only 50% or so of the players on the PGA Tour? And he reminded me, so, you know, Howard, these guys are generally pretty conservative, independent contractors, up for, you know, lower taxes. They come from wealth, and they tend to be right-leaning, right-wing-ish characters. And so some of the responses I saw, I found them disappointing. How ill-informed these players are. Guys saying, well, I had it, you know, young, these are young men too, in their 20s mainly, saying things like, well, I had it, so obviously I'm immune, etc., etc. But what I wanted to ask you, because I don't know the answer, and I asked my friend last night and he didn't either, are NHL, MLB, basketball, is there no mandate for all those kids to be vaccinated?
Well, during the playoffs, I believe, or just before, I know all the Leafs were vaccinated. Whether, now when I say all, I don't know. I never heard any stories of, say, a particular player refusing to have it, so to speak. But maybe the NHL has their own little vaccine passport thing. You get a vac if available and you refuse, maybe you can't play. I don't know. I haven't heard of any situation.
Do you know about the other like sports, though, Freddie P? Like, no. Football, was there? Because that's one thing that came out of this, and I didn't have the answer. Like I said, first I was sort of disappointed and surprised that the PGA Tour hadn't enacted some kind of, well, we're all going to be vaccinated, because they're around people all the time. There's people, and yeah, you know, yes, they're outside, but there's thousands of fans ringing each green, etc. But what about the other sports? And it made me wonder, was there no, you know, let's get everyone vaccinated so we don't have to worry about that for a while?
I don't know. So what do you know about John Rahm? What's his story? He refuse?
No.
What's the story?
Well, there's some irony in it. Last Monday, because of contact tracing, the PGA Tour found out that he had been in contact with somebody who had COVID. Mm-hmm. So they tested him on Monday, came back negative, and as part of their protocol, so they have these policies in place. He was tested every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, positive, kept coming back negative. Thursday, Friday, came back negative. Ironically, he was vaccinated on Monday. So he's not an anti-vax guy. He went and got vaccinated. He's just had a kid, so he's got a young family. So they tested him again on Friday, because as the rules state, at the end of every round, you need to get a test. Saturday, he shot 64. So he shot 8 under on Saturday to take a 6-shot lead. At 4 p.m, the test comes back positive. He's still playing, so they don't do anything. They retest that sample, and at 6:00 p.m, they found out that it's positive, and he has to exit the tournament. And again, they could have handled it in another. Why they did it on the 18th green, I have no fucking idea.
Well, again, it's unprecedented, yeah, and they would probably wish they had done something different. But so much of this stuff is the first time ever, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So you almost want to cut them a bit of slack and
From what I read, they thought, well, before he comes in contact with anyone else in the scoring tent or his cat, we need to tell him now. So the PGA Tour doctor came to see him. What I was also disappointed in, because I watched the final round yesterday afternoon, is that Nance and Faldo, the main, you know, guys that run the CBS, they're the CBS crew. They mentioned the incident, but really never mentioned anything about, you know, we all need to get vaccinated. You know, it's our responsibility. And then Nicklaus comes on because it was his tournament and he was the host. And he talked about the incident, again, not from the standpoint of America needs to get vaccinated, blah, blah, blah. And again, I had this conversation with my, you know, new buddy from Philadelphia. And that's, again, what we said. It's a conservative. The audience that watches golf tends to be white, middle class, high, you know, conservative. But I was just disappointed. I don't know. I just expected that they would be more like, hey, you know, we're all in this together kind of vibe. But they sort of ignored that part of the story, that he wasn't vaccinated or that he hadn't been vaccinated till Monday.
Well, then, you know, all those things considered, I mean, good on the PGA to have those rules and actually enforce them.
Yeah.
I mean, really, because that's the reality, and that is the safe thing to do. Like, how do you criticize somebody for going the safe way as opposed to the reckless way? And I think that's good on the PGA that they did it, and maybe they didn't handle it the best way, but at the same way, at the same time, they handled it. Because at that moment, I guess they had to worry about people going forward. Like, everybody that he comes in contact, maybe there's a risk that he could spread this. We have to stop it right now.
But talk about the nightmare of all. That's the reason I mentioned, because 50 tournaments ago, back in the spring of 2020, when they did, when they call it the restart, you know, they had a they must have had thousands of meetings thinking of everything that what about if this happens? What about if that happens? What about if the guy's leading by six, not by one? Six, man. And we're not talking about an unknown, you know, oh, some obscure pro that happened to have a good week. We're talking about the third ranked player in the game. And to have that guy have to, to his credit, by the way, he put out a beautiful statement. He's a smart young man, you know, or his team put out a statement. It was very, very well done. But what a scenario. They could have never imagined this.
Well, I think it's fantastic. I have the utmost respect for the PGA. You know how easily they could have got that result and then come up with some diversion or ignored it or taken some other route.
Yeah.
Because you only just stand to be criticized generally, right?
Yeah.
Oh, how could you do this? I mean, a lot of golfers and, again, a lot of Americans and a lot of, as you say, conservative-leaning people are going to have a problem with that. So they showed some balls there to me, and I like it. I really like it.
There was a bunch of, on golf Twitter, which is the only social media I bother with, a bunch of different, like mostly Americans, were all saying things like, well, they should just let him play by himself on Sunday. And I sort of responded, that's not really how the sport works. If you're the guy leading and you go out alone, you know, first thing Sunday morning, so no one's around, that's not really the nature of the competition, because the guys that are behind you are going to be playing at a different time of the day, et cetera, et cetera. But
right.
No, I agree with you, by the way. And I'm not disappointed. I'm disappointed. My disappointment is that they didn't vaccinate all these millionaires. Just get them all vaccinated. Yeah. Yeah. Think about it. They're going from city to city each week. Yeah, they're flying privately, but there's still, there's a caravan of human beings that go from town to town. And I wonder if, I would imagine the broadcast team, they don't be vaccinated.
You know, to back up, and you asked about the other sports, and I know the NHL is allowing the players now to eat together and what have you. So I assume that would not happen unless everybody was vaccinated.
You'd think so.
Yeah. Also, you know, on one hand, I love what the PGA did through this. And I also like what the NHL or what the Canadian government is, excuse me, has done.
Yeah, you sent me that note. Expand on that.
Well, I just think it's very logical that they're allowing the American team to come here and for the Canadian team to go into the United States. This is the federal government. I think it's very logical because they can control that very well. You know, the players will fly into a city and probably not go through the airport and, you know, get right off the plane on the tarmac or whatever and go right to where they have to be. To me, that's logical. Same with the Blue Jays. I really believe the Blue Jays should be playing in Toronto now. I mean, come on. They can figure out how to keep that safe. And I think psychologically, that would be good for Canadians. Like when the news comes out today that the Habs will be able to, or Winnipeg, if it comes to that, go to the States and vice versa. I think it's just another step forward, and I think it'll make people feel good. Like, the Blue Jays are playing in Buffalo, for Christ's sake. Tell me that they couldn't be playing in the Rogers Center and the American team come in and go right to the Sky Dome Hotel or whatever they're calling it now. And to me, that's just, that's okay.
Yeah, but tell me something.
Step forward.
Tell me, like, I read something this morning early, I can't remember what it was, about the number of days we've had a lockdown here in Ontario. You know, it's just gone on. You know, it's gone on in some cases, like gyms and salons, it's 370 days. In some other, like, we're hundreds of days now since restaurants were getting, you know, we've even forgotten how devastating this is going to be for small business, because it has just gone on. We're the most locked down place still in North America. And on the weekend, Canadian numbers were, I think, a couple thousand across Canada, less than 1,000 in Ontario, under 200 in Toronto, and still this fucking street's shut down.
I know. And, you know, and the medical people, I mean, even this weekend, now they're talking about this variant out of India, and they're concerned about it, and they're not quite sure whether we're ready for phase one. It's humiliating. It's like, it's horrible. And again, the powers that be who make the decisions, like, you know, and it's in this situation, it's Doug Ford. What do you do when your medical people that the province hires says those things? Because the thing is, you go along with them, you piss a bunch of people off.
Yeah.
You don't go along with them, and you piss a bunch of people off. But if it goes south, now you're holding the bag.
But which I totally agree with. You know, they follow the science, listen to the medical. But every other province,
I know,
every other city. Like, at some, you know, I was just going to, at some point, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but at some point, you just have to open it back up.
I totally agree. Like, to me, there should be no question phase one this week. No question. Open it up, keep vaccinating people, and let's roll with it. I totally, totally agree with that. But again, I don't suffer the consequences if...
Yeah, I know.
The variant, it blows up again, and we have a fourth wave.
But there's other cities in North America that are exposed to this Indian variant, B117523.
No,
you know. I can't explain it, Lucy. I will say this: you mentioned about being vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Health Canada approved vaccines, Freddie, are conveniently available in hospitals, doctor's offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. They are not available at Tim Hortons, so stop asking us that question. Every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. So join millions of Ontarians to do your part and get your shot. Visit Ontario.ca/bookvaccine. Paid for by the government of Ontario.
You know, Tim Dimblett is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Tim is your guy. You know, if you're building a plan, you want to start building a plan, you're in the early stages of thinking about it, he's the guy to, you know, lead the way for you. If you have a portfolio and you're having second thoughts about it, or you want somebody to have a second look at it and reassess, Tim's your guy. And again, no obligation. If he says you're on the right track, he'll tell you, and you don't have to come over to the Sherpa side. That's the thing about him. You want to talk about logical and level-headed,
yeah.
He's your guy.
By the way, excuse me, Sherpa side is also excellent on your lawns.
Yes, he is. Very good with these gypsy moths as well.
Oh, you're gypsy.
Which is weird, right? The whole gypsy thing.
I don't know what they are.
Say that anymore.
Yeah, what is that? What are they?
They're all over the province. They're going crazy. Like here, if you stand outside, you can actually hear the caterpillar.
Are they mating?
No, they're eating. They're going to eat all the leaves off the tree within the next 6 to 8 weeks.
I noticed on a golf course on Saturday, there was all these little caterpillars. Is that where they are?
Yeah, that's, and they're going to turn into moths.
Those buggers.
It's quite the phenomenon.
Jesus
Christ.
Pain
in the ass.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, the Sherp, get back to him. You know, he's a great guy, and a lot of Humble and Fred listeners have, you know, hired him. I guess that's the word, and the results have been fantastic. So take the time, retirementsherpa.ca. He'll give you some time, and you won't regret it. Retirementsherpa.ca.
I don't see Bill Brio anywhere. I just sent a note to Boone, and Bill's been confirmed. I saw the confirmation.
Well, I even saw what he wanted to talk
about. I know, I see it. Yeah, talking about the Junos that aired last night. Didn't watch a minute of it. I hope it was good. I mean, I'm nothing against the Junos. I hope they did a nice job. I'm sure they did. The online award show, that's a phenomenon that I have, to be honest, Phyllis, I've never, didn't watch the Grammys, didn't watch the Oscars. I just don't have any real interest in it.
I was waiting for Bill to come on because the Junos, they announced a new category last night, and I wanted to get your opinion or and Bill's opinion on what your favorite tune in that category would be.
What's the category?
Well, you don't want to wait for Bill? Or?
Well, I got a feeling it's now 14 okay. minutes. It's 14 minutes past the time that he would normally be with us. So I'm going to say it's safe to say he's not happening.
Okay, well, then I'll ask you and Phil, what is your favorite underground dance single of the year?
Mine is Staying Alive.
The remix.
The remix of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. Underground dance mix?
Underground dance single of the year.
I don't know.
There's people that know what those are.
Yeah.
People can relate to that category. It's pretty cool, I guess.
What's yours, Phil?
I was more into the overground dance, but you know, my favorite underground dance is More Than a Woman, Bee Gees.
Oh, yeah.
More
Than a Woman. Phil, I thought for sure. I thought for sure this would be yours, Phil. Little old school, you know. Yeah, Philly. Look at Phil move it.
Oh,
yeah, Philly's got the moves.
What do you call that when you do that? The wave or something with your hands?
He does it. What do you call that, Phil?
I think it's the wave.
Yeah, that's good.
CNC Music Factory Boom 97, whatever.
I thought when I was talking about the Gypsy Moths, you'd start playing Gypsy Queen. Isn't that the name of the song?
Who's that? Oh, that's April Wine.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Right.
Sign of the Gypsy Queen.
Right. But gypsy has really become a derogatory term.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you wanted me to play Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That's some underground dancing.
I'm way behind on the gypsy thing. Why is that a bad thing now? We're not supposed to talk.
Because it was a derogatory term for
for who?
Newcomers that came to a country and stole things or something. Okay. Like
they wanted to call themselves the Roma. Now I believe it's called the Roma.
Okay. Phil, you don't know this song, but it's another great April Wine tune. Here we go, and they actually say "Sign of the Gypsy Queen." Here it is.
You could actually insert Sign of the Gypsy Moth there.
Sign of the Gypsy Moth. Oh, but if we still did the Gypsy Moth.
Caterpillar shit everywhere.
I had to move.
Caterpillar shit, these little dot, hard dots.
And yes, they do.
It's everywhere.
Goddamn caterpillars. Right. Yeah, I had to remove a couple. They were in my way on the green. And I was very, I don't like to kill. I don't like to kill unnecessarily. You know, caterpillars just kind of moving. And I've sort of picked it up delicately. But a couple times I squeezed too hard.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? He also wanted to talk about the Junos, summer television. I don't watch summer television.
He said there's a lot of stupid shows on the networks right now, including Lego Masters. And that's Will Arnett.
Will Arnett's show,
he does.
Yeah.
And from what I gather, from what I've heard, he enjoys doing that show.
Yeah, I heard him reference it on the Smart List. Have you heard of that podcast?
Yeah.
There was something that Bill was going to bring up that I actually wrote down last week when I saw it, because I got the notification, as all of us did, that Netflix is now charging HST in Canada. And he says, remember Harper saying over my dead body? Well, whatever. My curiosity about that, Fred and Phil, was that I would have assumed they were already charging HST. Why wouldn't they be?
Well, because the thing is, if you purchase something out of the country, you don't pay HST on it. Mm-hmm. And you were literally at the time, originally, I guess, purchasing something from out of the country. Like, you don't pay it on Spotify.
Okay, excuse my ignorance. Basically, isn't there Netflix Canada, and that's who we buy our Netflix from?
Well, maybe that's why it has happened now.
Yeah, they're starting that subsidiary downtown and throwing money at that, so that's probably why.
So that's why. Hey, Phil, speaking of Spotify, and that was the screen cap that the guy sent us.
Mm-hmm.
Our Spotify numbers, that's a separate thing from where we get the regular podcast numbers. You know what I mean? Is it...
I believe if you're talking about where we get our regular numbers, like from a server, like from right. our actual like
from
files,
Credible Goat,
actually part of the numbers.
Oh, it is. So okay.
Spotify is a part of it, but the full numbers are on the server.
Okay. Thank you, Phil. Mm-hmm. It's like having your own pocket genius. You know, you can just, it really is. It's like, hey, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Phil, do you have the answer? Of course you do, you sweet angel.
I'm starting my own podcast, you know, up from the lines of Smartless. It's called Dumbass.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Stephen Harper there. He said, over my dead body. Mm-hmm. Of course, ultimately, this is not his decision because it's our prime minister who I take, quite often, I take shots at. But can I say, over the weekend, I was very, very proud of our prime minister.
Yes, that was the note you sent me. What was that all about?
I very, seriously, it took a lot of balls for him to do it, and it's about time. He's called out the Catholic Church on the indigenous.
Oh, yes. Yes, we're going to get to that.
Schools. And, you know, on Friday here, I was watching something on CP24, some conference or something, some back and forth between politicians, and they were talking about how bad Canada is, and then the United Nation weighs in, oh, Canada, how shameful, shameful. Nobody mentioning the key dimension of this is that it was run by the Catholic Church.
Yeah, of course.
And all these kids, sexual abuse, right?
Yeah.
And then ultimately murdered. And the direct ties to the Catholic Church, again, when it comes to young people being sexually yeah. assaulted. And anyway, nobody wanted to talk, you know, the elephant in the room. And then later that day, the prime minister comes out quite strong saying, okay, the Catholic Church, you have to own up to this. You have to take your responsibility for your part in this. You have to apologize. You have to say something. Because even the Pope addressed it a couple of times.
No, I've got the Pope. I got the Pope tweet right now ready for you. The Pope tweet.
And listen, there are a lot of Catholics in Canada. And you know the way these guys play the election game? It's like, okay, I might want to say this, but how many votes could I lose through this? Mm-hmm. No, full credit to, and he's a Catholic himself, to Justin Trudeau for stepping forward and saying what needed to be said.
Bravo, you say. You say bravo, Justin.
And there I've said it. No, absolutely. I was very proud of him.
Well, and you know what? I'm proud of you. This is why you, if I may say, are the man that you are. Because, and this is for all those idiots, oh, red, right wing, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. No, you're a man of issue and of, and you aren't such a, you know, you're not, if you were such a right wing, you know, nut job, you'd never even see that. But I mm-hmm. saw you sent that note to me and I was kind of like, oh, I was going to open it, but I didn't. I'm sorry. Just explain something to me. I went, oh, Fred likes the prime minister. Isn't that sweet? I don't want to be naive, but I don't think a lot of us understand how 215 children were found dead and abused. How did they... Over how long a time? Like, I don't know all the details of the story. I know the story. Do you know? Do you know what they're saying happened to these children?
Well, they were taken into those residential schools.
Yes.
This one in particular.
Run by Catholic priests.
Right. And on some levels, I guess with the best of intentions, their idea way back then was take these indigenous children and sort of... What's the word? Just
mission them, put them into the religion.
And bring them into mainstream, if that's the term, Canadian society.
Sure. But right. how did they end up dead is my question. Well,
who knows? Another dirty little secret. Okay, Phil, you know how. Okay,
and not just two or three.
No, mm-hmm. no.
215 mm-hmm. of them. How did that happen, Phil?
There's a Heritage Minute that was produced about the residential schools, but basically these children were involuntarily ripped from their families. They yes. weren't allowed to speak their own First Nations languages. They were basically punished so hard that these kids died. It's as simple as that. Child abuse to the extreme point.
But not one, but here's the thing, you know, this isn't a residential school that was in some, you know, third world country. This was in our country. And whether they were indigenous or not, they went missing and they're dead 215 times.
So many kids tried to run away from those schools to go home and they would die along the way. Mm-hmm. And this system didn't end until 1997.
So just, Pope Franny says, I joined the Canadian bishops. Before I read this tweet, this is what I said to Rachel on the weekend. I said, if the Catholic Church, if take church out of it and put organization, if the Catholic organization were any other entity, they'd have been shut the fuck down a long time ago. There, I've said it.
I agree. Enough's enough. I mean, we've seen, you know, the recent movies. This is still going on.
Oh, I know.
And they won't take the bull by the horns.
Shut it down.
Well, I don't think.
No, I know. I know. But I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if it were a company and 250, and they were, if it was a school company, mm-hmm. and they had 215 deaths in their school company, you wouldn't read this is the Pope saying, I joined the Canadian bishops. Again, let's just talk about this. These are a bunch of men wearing fucking costumes. Right. And I joined the costume men and the whole Catholic Church in Canada in expressing my closeness to the Canadian people who have been traumatized by the shocking discovery of the remains of 215 children, pupils at the Kamloops Indian Residential Schools. Mm-hmm. Should have been, and we're sorry that we abused and killed these children.
Mm-hmm. Under our watch.
Under our watch. Oh, here's no, but they no, you know, here's Bill Brio.
Okay.
Go ahead, finish.
But no, I'm just personally I'm tired of it. Too
yeah,
much
me too.
Of this has gone on, and they won't take the bull by the horns and they won't take responsibility, and it's this dirty little secret. And what bothers me more than anything else, people are so ready to take shots at other religions, but for some reason,
yeah.
you know, Catholics are put over here, and nobody really wants to address the harm that they've done over the years to so many children.
You mentioned we've seen movies. I just rewatched a few months ago. Within the last couple months, I rewatched Spotlight.
Yeah. Okay. I'm on now.
No, Bill, we can hear you. Yeah, you're on now. And yeah, I can hear you, you know. We're right in the middle of something. Hang on a second.
I'm very sorry.
Okay. But if you rewatch that movie, like, that's a real thing that happened in modern times. It's not in the mm-hmm. 50s. It's not in the 40s. That happened within, and how it's allowed to continue is just, again, if it was any other organization and not church attached mm-hmm. to it.
You know, we don't hesitate to criticize some religions, Middle Eastern religions, for the way they treat women. Yeah, yeah. It's wrong. It's horrible. And we'll call them out. It's shitty. But, you know, the Catholic Church has a long and miserable history of mistreating children. So that's bad, too. So call a spade. And again, that's why I'm glad the Prime Minister came out and said that.
It took until Stephen Harper before anyone apologized, right?
Yes. But even the apology thing, what good is an apology now? The apology thing to me is almost like silly. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that he said, okay, you guys have to take responsibility for this. He didn't say, he said apologize, but he said, you know, we have to recognize the fact that you are running this show.
Yeah.
And you're a big part of this is your responsibility. Let's talk about that.
Where's Aaron O'Toole and the super conservatives on all of this? I'll tell you what, they don't want to piss off any religious people.
Well, let's see. Yeah. We'll see. It's a big thing.
Usually once a month, we visit with our very good friend, Bill Brio. And I got to be honest with you. He was scheduled for 8 o'clock. It's now 8:28. Don't know what to say. All I know is it's like, in the beginning, it was all exciting being on the Humble and Fred show. Now it's like, oh, yeah, that. That thing. Am I still doing that? We've already burned through all your topics.
Are you
well,
there, Billy?
I'm even humbler and Fredder this morning. I apologize. I'm sorry.
What, did you sleep in?
No, I just am an idiot, Fred. You know, I honestly drew a blank, so I apologize.
Yeah, because was it on Saturday there you delivered all your
been looking at it. I was like, oh good, yeah. We'll talk about this and that and the other thing.
So within 48 hours you forgot about this.
I'm just Bill's so very busy, Fred.
I'm just so stupefied by the Juno Awards. It just completely erased all thought and protest. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, dude, I'll tell you what. I know Dan's listening. So Dan, I'll tell you what, we're gonna do like 15 or so or less with Bill, and then we'll do the Dan news because we have to be done at 9 today because Fred and I are playing in a golf tournament together. Bill Brio, we talked about, did anyone watch the Junos? Here's what's left for you. We can talk about the upfronts, and we can talk about the Jewish Film Festival, because, you know, I love my Jews. And I was back and forth a few times to Rachel's and my house. So on the, I saw billboards on the Gardner, all very cool. Junos looked kind of cool at 50. We didn't watch it. Did you? Maybe you can give us your impressions of it.
Well, if people saw, there was a special Stronger Together that came out about a year ago that was sort of in response to the cancellation of the Junos. And it was artists all across Canada performing at home. Mm. And it's sort of what we got used to. You know, it was kind of cool there for a while. You could watch Burton Cummings play the piano every day at home, or different things. When the pandemic first started, suddenly all these musicians who were used to touring, they were stuck at home like the rest of us, and we could actually go into their house and have little concerts. So they sort of did that again. You know, they thought they could get the Junos done by March this year, and then it was postponed to April and then May, and then finally they put it on in June. And it was sort of like watching a series of music videos with some special graphics in between and some trophy swapping.
Was there like a host of this, or was it a bunch of hosts, or no?
Yeah, no, it was hostless. It was Alicia Cara was supposed to do it last year, and then literally they had the stage put up and everything booked, and then they had to pull the plug at the very last minute because it was March of 2020.
Yeah.
So no host, just a lot of, but big names, you know, they had just about everybody, Justin Bieber and even oldies, Anne Murray and Gordon Lightfoot. So there was something for everybody, but I don't know if people knew about it or saw it or, yeah, I haven't seen.
Well, they certainly promote. My point about watching, I mean, I went back and forth to the East End a couple times this weekend, and they certainly were advertising it pretty heavily. And I got to be honest, it looked kind of cool. And I was like, oh, the 50th anniversary of the Junos. But that wasn't enough to get me to watch it. But no. I saw that Bieber was going to be, or was scheduled to appear, which I think is nice of him. You know, I like it when Canadian guys don't forget that they're Canadian.
Yes. Or forget what time it is on Monday.
Bill, it's okay. It's Humble and Fred. We still love you. No, this is your last appearance, but we still love you.
It's been great. I do think that it was great that they were able to pull something together and mount it. I just think last night, you know, because they pushed it to June, they're up against the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
There was a great CNN had the finale of that story of Late Night last night.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that.
There was other stuff on, and they may have gotten a bit lost in the shuffle.
I don't know. I know. Go ahead, Freddie.
No, I was just going to say the fact that Justin Bieber was on the show, it's interesting. You know, would he ever come to that show live? But, you know, in our new world with Zoom like this, for example, you know, our ability to get guests is a lot easier now because people...
Well, not all guests. I mean, our... not all guests, Fred. Our ability to get most guests, yes.
Comfort of your own home, your convenience. Mm. You don't have to travel to Islington and Queensway to be on the Humble and Fred show.
Right.
Yeah. It's just, it's another example of...
It's all set up here.
Me and Bill are just listening to you. We're both having the same thoughts. So, yeah, it's what you're saying, Fred. It's even Justin Bieber could remember to do the fucking Junos. Right.
Yeah, well.
So, you know, it just, again, opens the door more for marquee talent like Bill Bieber to be on your show.
Hey, Bill, let me tell you how wonderful, by the way. First of all, thank you for helping us get, you know, Bill Carter. Because, you know, I've been asking you about it for a couple of years. I'm such a big fan. And that documentary, like I have last night's final, is it the six parts? So last night's the last part. I have it recorded, or whatever you call that, digitally preserved. I can't wait to watch it. Bill, it's one of those series. I will watch it again. I'm going to save it because I just enjoyed every minute of it. Just really, really fine. And Bill Carter and all the different comments. And it was really, really well done in it. I think it had something for everyone. It's certainly fans of late night as a genre. For me, it was fantastic.
I enjoyed it too, Howard. And last night's was probably the best episode in that it addressed what's happening now. In that, you know, the pandemic year, everybody started to go home and do their show.
Yeah,
it was kind of the end of late night as we know it, but the beginning of what's happening now. And you know, you had Jimmy Fallon saying it was like back when Steve Allen and Jack Parr were doing it because it was experimental. You know, they were trying new things. And that was everybody, you know, and you were seeing them find their feet at home. Trevor Noah, especially on, you know, and Stephen Colbert, he didn't know what to do. He'd been playing a character for 10 years and suddenly he had to be himself, and how hard that was for him to do that. And then when he got home, and then Trump, he just was like rocket fuel. He just became himself, very loud and proud. And so it's a fascinating one. I will just suggest, and this might trip you up, the last night's episode was like 75 minutes long. So if you set your PVR for the usual hour, you might be missing the very, very end of it. Or hopefully it was covered.
Well, the way I tape it is I just tape it off the app. And so it just tapes the series, right? So I'm assuming it got all of it. I'll tell you, every episode, I said to Freddie last week, I find myself about halfway through checking how much time there's left because I want there to be more time. You know, does that sound?
You know, there is more with this one, and you get more with like Amber, like the Jesus and Merrill, like these guys at the who've emerged now, and how diverse late night is and how experimental and fun. But all the voices that were on the show, Billy Crystal is the very last voice and he hangs in there. You know, you hear from Lorne Michaels. It's a great guest list and a real great history of late night.
I know it's my favorite thing to watch since Island of Bryan. I, you know what?
I know you're being serious. It's also very funny, though. I know. We just mentioned quickly Netflix is charging HST now because there's a Canadian Netflix entity. Yeah. The upfronts for you people who aren't in television like Bill and Fred and I, those are when the networks present their big shows for the fall. And I'm assuming it was remotely, obviously. So talk to us about some of the things. You say there's slim pickings from the U.S., but I've always enjoyed his work.
I wish there was slim pickings. It's because of the decline of the broadcast networks and the rise of streaming services. What's left for broadcast is just same old, same old. So and not as much of it. So they just don't cancel shows anymore. Law and Orders and NCIS go on for 20 years. And the new shows are now Law and Order, I Forgot My Lunch, and NCS, Where's My Walker? You know, it just never ends. So it's more of that same stuff. And that's so Canadians go down to buy the new shows. So the Canadian network that already has Law and Order or Chicago Fire, they just buy the next Law and Order, Chicago, whatever. And I just think Canadians, another reason to turn off and find what's on Disney Plus.
Was there anything you saw that you were like, hey, this could be okay or not?
I don't know, Howard. There's a new version of The Wonder Years. If you remember that sitcom. Yeah,
love that show.
Fabulous. Yeah, end of the 80s, 90s. So it's, again, set in the 60s. It's narrated by Don Cheadle. It's about a Black American family, and they've got some great talent attached. That might be fun. But, you know, again, we're talking about a remake, right? I mean, that's the exciting thing. What's exciting for the new shows? Well, something from 40 years ago. So I don't know. I think that if you're a creator, you got something really juicy on the go, you have brought that to Amazon, Netflix, Disney
Plus, Paramount now, or Peacock now. There's so many streaming services.
You know, I draw the comparison or the parallel. It's like the Toronto Maple Leafs people are saying, what do they do now? What do you do? How do you get yourself out of this, or what's the next step? Network television must be like that. Like, you know, they must get an idea and look at a budget and go, like, do we really want to spend this money for what? We can't compete with the non-commercial services. It's got to be a tough position to be in.
Yeah, there was a joke several years ago. You know, it's so exciting to be in. And this was a joke literally 10 years ago. So exciting to be in network TV now. It's like being in vaudeville in the 60s. You know, the Jimmy Kimmel was scathing. He does the upfronts in New York. A month ago, the U.S. networks had their upfronts to advertisers. He always warms up the crowd, and he did it virtually. And he says stuff that should just get you fired. Mm-hmm. And his comparison was like, oh, they've got a new Law & Order show. It's like, wow, we've got the best Gestetner machine.
That's right. Or a mimeograph. Remember going down to the office at school to use the mimeograph machine?
Right. You know, right down to the fact that a sitcom has to be 22 minutes. I mean, when you watch some of the stuff on Netflix, you know, know, sometimes it's 47 minutes, sometimes it's 53 minutes. They take as much time as they need. Even from that standpoint, how does television compete?
Well, even watching the show we all love, The Story of Late Night, it's like, yeah, what's with this interruption every eight minutes?
You know, well, that's why.
Strange thing.
You know, I haven't seen it once. It's, I guess last night would have been in the sixth Sunday night that it was on at 9 o'clock CNN. I've never seen it in real time. Those interruptions you're talking about, see ya.
Well, Kimmel was joking about how his kids are now 3 and 5, whatever. They watch their favorite shows on TV, and then they watch on network, and they're like, why is this woman doing laundry? <my
show?" laughs> That's really good. Well, I watched the only network television I watch, as you know, Billy, is Sunday afternoons, you know, between 3 and 6. I'm watching CBS, NBC, ABC, whoever's got the golf. And I usually try and get a few minutes ahead. But inevitably, I'm caught up by the time the thing ends, and I'm forced to watch commercials for an hour. And it just seems weird.
Yeah, but see, with live events, I don't know. It's a subconscious mindset that you accept it. You know?
Yeah, well, you would accept. I agree. You accept it more than if you're watching one of your programs.
Right. So you're watching a hockey game. You know, you just know you're going to have commercials because it's live.
But it's also,
and again, therein is the future of network television, live events, I guess. That's it.
It's true. Sports, news, live events, about the Oscars, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But that's also why the average age for a lot of these shows is like 70. And I'm not even making that up. It really is 70. Mm-hmm. And it's because the audience has aged along, and it's those older folks who are used to commercial interruptions who will sit through them and actually use them to go to the bathroom or the fridge, whereas my kids are like, what is this?
Well, I was going to ask you, Bill, how old are your kids, by the way?
Dan's 20. They're 28 and 31 now.
So you have 28, 31. I have 26 and 23. Fred's got 34 and 38. Now, the 38-year-old, because I don't know if Melanie and Josh, they would still have a television. But I'll tell you, my kids, there's no TVs in their friend group. My daughters have never, like, they both live on their own. They don't own TVs.
No, and the other shocking thing to me, and I cover TV, I get screeners links sent to me. My kids have seen everything I've seen, and they don't have cable. They don't have a TV set. They've seen everything on different devices. And, you know, the other thing is my kids have never known life without The Simpsons. It's always been on there. It's their constant. And so their frame of reference, they don't. Johnny Carson, his last show was 29 years ago. He is simply a reference on The Simpsons to them.
No, exactly. The last part here, Billy B, is the Toronto Jewish Film Festival is Wednesday, and it's obviously online. A salute to Carl Reiner. And he just passed away recently. Did he not?
Yeah. Yes, he did. No, just last year. No, it's a wonderful idea. And thanks to Stuart Hans and everyone at the Toronto Jewish Film Festival for asking me to moderate this. It's a Q&A on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. There's a they're scheduled.
Now, do you need us to call and remind you about that, or will you be able to?
Yeah, probably. I will.
Do you want Boone to call you or
Mike? Please call me. That's a note to Mike Boone. Yeah, no, I'll tie some strings around my every finger.
I'm sorry. Please continue with your content.
No, it just should be wonderful. They've got Bill Persky, and so he was one of the original writers of the Dick Van Dyke Show and the stories, and he's like 95 and he's sharp as a tack. We did a little pre-call last week, and he was talking about Lucas Reiner is the other guest, and he is Carl Reiner's youngest son. Everybody's heard of Rob Reiner, of course, but Carl had three children, and Lucas is an artist. He's going to talk about the Dick Van Dyke Show as well. And it's just going to be so much fun because the stories behind the scenes, you know, even just from that little call, what emerged, Persky was saying, I remember your dad yelling at Rob, because Rob ended up on, you know, on All in the Family. Yeah. And was more of a hippie. And Carl was a dad besides being a comedy genius. So we got to hear some of the behind the scenes. It was fun.
Well, I can't imagine that's going to be anything but cool listening to those old stories about the golden days of television.
Yeah. Yeah. My Dick Van Dyke impression. Oh, Rob!
is that Dick Van Dyke or his wife?
That's Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, Rob!
No, okay. So that's your Mary Tyler Moore impression from Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, from the Dick Van Dyke.
I get it.
Yeah.
There's a great story. I'm sure I've told Fred this, but Billy, maybe you never heard it, that Carl Reiner, who by the middle to late 60s was considered one of the funniest people in television and Hollywood and all sorts of things. And some interviewer asked him who he thought the funniest person he ever met was. And he said, this kid that hangs around with my son, Rob, his name is Albert Einstein. And they thought he was kidding, but he was talking about Albert Brooks. And right. Even as a teenager, like Albert was just hanging around with Rob at the Reiner home, you know, maybe coming over for Passover. And that kid cracked Carl Reiner up more than anyone he had ever met.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always thought that was a cool little, you know, comedy story.
And Albert Einstein's father was on radio, and his nickname on the radio was Park Your Carcass. I'm not making that up. Seriously, in the 50s. And he literally was doing a tribute to, they had a big banquet in the late 50s. Everybody, Milton Berle, all the Toastmasters were there. And he went up and did a set, sat down and died.
Yeah, that's just, I know that story, that he did stand up, and then they thought he was fucking around, and he died.
Yeah.
Of course, people may know this, but Albert Brooks' brother, Bob Einstein, is Super Dave.
Yeah, who ended up, you know, also being pals with Reiner. I mean, writer on the Smothers Brothers, genius. I remember going to Markdale to watch tapings of Super Dave Osborne back many years ago, but and so funny on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, so good. His delivery is amongst the best. Bill Brio, listen, man, we're all friends here. Our relationship can survive yet another, you know, rocky moment. You know, it's not a big deal, you know?
Listen, you know you're in a great relationship when you're taken for granted. You know that, right?
Yeah, well, that's how I feel, yeah.
Wow.
Well, Bill, what did you expect?
My first wife. Anyway, thanks, guys.
What did you expect, Billy? You know?
That's perfect.
Anyways, Bill will be back. Listen, just start the countdown now. The first Monday of every month is Brio. You know what we call them, Bill? Brio Mondays.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'll try to be there. Sorry.
Okay. Well, listen,
see
we love you, man.
See you in July.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Billy. Take care. TV feeds Bill's family. What's your website again?
It's simply Brio, BRIOUX.TV.
Nice. Thank you very much. Freddie, can you see? Have you got your health? Where's your health watch? Is your health watch on? Do you know?
I'm charging it. I charge it overnight.
All right. Easy now. Mm-hmm. Right now, my temperature, 36.04, which is good. Heart rate's nice, 78, resting heart rate. The Health Gauge Genesis, and now I think this is the Phoenix. It's software. It's cloud computing. It really is. I like details. I like these kind of reads out your blood pressure, your oxygen saturation, pulse wave velocity. I wish I even knew what that was. Activity levels, calories burned. For instance, the other day I had it on playing golf, which I do occasionally. And in a round of golf, I was close to 8-something kilometers and 8,000 steps. Cool. And I like wearing it. You know, it's funny. I haven't worn a watch in a long time, and it's very comfortable, and I think it looks kind of cool. You can get yours at healthgauge.com. You can also use this to communicate to doctors, diet, fitness, health consultants about your overall fitness level. It's you're charging yours, but that's a USB charge. You can also use it to share your data from HealthGauge to those people who are helping keep you healthier. HealthGauge.com. HealthGauge.com.
Yeah, man. Are you dreaming about your post-lockdown vacation? If you're as eager as the rest of us to get out and travel sometime this summer, be sure to add the Gig Sky app to your list of travel accessories. The Gig Sky app provides worldwide mobile data coverage in over 190 countries with newly updated prices, including data. Yeah, a data plan for Canada. It's the easiest, most affordable, and convenient way to stay connected internationally. Whether you're pulling up directions, looking for the coolest restaurant or bar, or sharing your post-COVID pics on Instagram, you'll want access to data when traveling. All GigSky data plans are prepaid with no contracts or recurring fees. You get what you pay for, and your service is never throttled. Download the GigSky app today and enter code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan. Visit GeekSky.com for more information.
And I'm still getting used to saying this, so I apologize, Ravi, Rudra, Jennifer. Bill Brio today. I was all ready to say it when Bill was going to be with us at 8 o'clock, and then I forgot. But the starting now, all the guests brought to you by GeekSky, the GeekSky guest of the day today. Brought to you by our fine friends at GeekSky. Before we start the news this morning, I guess we can all see that Dan Duran, ladies and gentlemen, is getting himself ready. This is like a behind the scenes. And you're at the lakeside there. You're just a few feet away from Freddie P.
Yeah, I came in last night setting things up for my son, who's got a summer job up here. So
nice.
He's, back and forth a little bit, trying to get it all kind of organized for the summer.
Well, fantastic. And how have you done anything to annoy Fred yet? The music levels or, some of your working, some of the things you work on out there?
I really haven't done much here, so I haven't gotten into the Fred conflict.
You haven't gotten a citation from the park ranger?
No. Part of Dan's site was looking a little trailer park, so as a favor to him, I cleaned it up the other day when I was looking for something to do.
Very nice.
I raked some leaves for him and moved some things around.
Right. I did forget about that. Yeah.
That could have become a heated battle, but I thought I'll be proactive and I'll do something about it rather than confront Dan.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, there's nothing passive-aggressive about that at all, I don't think. Yeah. So thank you.
No, that was completely aggressive. It was aggressive. Hey, are you, I know you got some poison oak. Has that cleared up, for God's sake?
Pretty much.
Yeah,
I was devastated by this. I mean, like, my skin was like, I was becoming a crusty pustule.
Well, I don't think people realize that you've been working the last week through really under duress because your whole body is broken out in an oozing scab. So I do applaud you for continuing to do your job.
The initial contact site has pretty much cleared up. It's just the rest of the devastation.
And what about the oozing?
Around.
Is the oozing done yet?
The oozing's just it's scabbing now.
So. Okay, good. Oozing is now turned to scabbing.
See, Howard, you call it poison oak, but I'm convinced it's his goddamn vaccine that gave him that rash.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Must have been.
Well, I was a little. I was up there a few weeks ago. It's on your leg, right?
Yeah, the back of my calf.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that could have been your wiener. Yeah. That could have also been.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Yeah. It could have been like just rubbing an irritation from chafing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well,
listen, the virus isn't that aggressive that it would go after the largest part of his body. No.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good we have this little conversation again.
So here we are, live from the trailer.
Duran, the anchorman, comes to ask for credentials. He has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care, and his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now live from the Pustule Scab Center of Burley Falls, here he is oozing credibility and picking at the edges of the stories of the day.
Wow.
It's Dad Drama.
Today is National VCR Day. If you're too young, the VCR, or video cassette recorder, is an electromechanical device that records analog audio and analog video from television or on a removable magnetic video cassette in the shittiest way.
Oh, he's big punchline. He's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crazy. It just happened. Dan, when you got to your big punchline there, you completely froze up. You said, and recorded in the shittiest way, and then we lost you.
And he's on the same internet I am.
I don't know.
Yeah, his is all covered in scabs, though.
Okay. In the shittiest way possible.
Right.
That was where I was going with that.
I thought of you this weekend because Rachel. She was doing something. She made a little table for us in the back, and there was a roll of sort of electrician's tape that she was going to use for the edge of the table, and it was in a disc that looked like tape, reel to reel tape.
Oh, right. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, God, I haven't seen reel-to-reel tape. You still have some, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I do, yeah. Remember, I still have the 8-track tape. Now, when I'm talking 8-track here, I'm not talking car 8-tracks. Yeah, I'm talking, like, recording studio 8-track tape of us recording you singing Stairway to Heaven in Calgary. I don't have a machine to play it back on. That tape is 1-inch magnetic tape. And
does anybody have one of those machines? It's like a TIAC or something, right?
Well, that would have been... I think that would have been an Ampex machine.
No, I don't know. Very technical.
Right, yeah. But
a Tampax machine.
I saw, we were watching a movie on the weekend, and it was a 90s movie, and in the scene, there was a bar scene, and it had a cigarette machine. And I was like, look at that. People used to buy cigarettes out of machines, you know.
I don't really know. There's a lot of stuff I have on tape that I don't know if I could pull off anymore without, you know, hiring a, you know, some sort of archiving kind of studio that, that might have that equipment around anymore.
All right.
And all that stuff was super expensive in the day. And then it all got junked. And now it's really difficult to find that stuff.
Yes, it is. Well, Dan, sorry to interrupt this newscast with some personal trivia. Now with the continuation of his news, Dan Duran, everybody.
Air Canada execs are returning their bonuses. Well, some of it. They had $10 million going to guys in charge, and $2 million is not going to the top execs anymore. They've returned it. I guess they got a little embarrassed because people were a little bit upset about, you know, Canada supporting them with loans and wage subsidies and all the rest of that. And somehow they figured that they needed a bonus during COVID.
Yeah.
And so they're...
That's a good look, Air Canada.
Is gone.
So they're keeping 80% is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, the top few guys, I can read some of their...
how do you get a bonus? How do you get a bonus in a company that's lost money for the last 16 months?
Okay. I can answer that.
Please do.
Their explanation, I read this article, is that it took some very clever maneuvering to get them through this.
Did it?
And they are compensating those brilliant minds that are responsible for Air Canada still being an airline. That, and I'm not kidding, that's their explanation.
Okay. Okay. Well, good.
It's bullshit, of course.
But. You know, go ahead, Dan, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, well, normally, I mean, without COVID, because I think they declined compensation this year, the top executive, the CEO, I think makes around... $10 million, roughly around $10 million a year in normal times. I think the top executive in Canada, I think, is Tim Hortons. He makes around $24 million a year.
Jesus.
It's just there's a certain level where it just doesn't. I shake my head. It doesn't make any sense anymore. Like, doesn't there's no correlation in, you know, your skill set and whatever you bring to a company that seems that.
When you hear those stories, Dan, are you like me when you hear those stories and you think, God, I wish I'd have paid more attention in school. I really do. I should have, because there was stuff going on with guys who now make $24 million. Maybe they were kind of, making stupid jokes wasn't the best idea for me. I should have paid more attention.
Way more fun though. Those guys, how much fun do they have?
Say you make $24 million a year. Wouldn't it be cool, like, to take $20 million and then have $4 million and hold like an employee lottery throughout the year for. Like, really, an internal lottery for employees in the company that maybe could share in that kind of money? Because, listen, there's no difference between $20 million and $24 million. I mean, really.
Well, that's $4 million, Fred. That's a lot of...
No, but you know what I mean, in the big picture of how a person... Sure. What a person needs to live on, like...
What kind of left...
And I'm no socialist.
Well, I was going to say, what kind of lefty bullshit logic is this, man? Let's...
Come on.
Just get creative.
If you get that much money, you start...
Okay, he's frozen up again on the internet. I was thinking, if you're making 24...
You get three mansions.
Right? Can't really hear you anymore. If you're making $24 million, that means every month you get $2 million. That means every 2 weeks you get $1 million. Does that go right into... Is that automatic deposit, or how does that work? You look in your bank account, and there's like, oh, there's another $1 million that just got in there.
No, I know. You'd literally lose track of it. But that's our society. That's the way it works.
I'll tell you who's working hard for his money is our friend Todd Shapiro at Red Light Holland, producing magic truffles in the Netherlands, and their own brand of eye microdose packs. See it, do it, love it. They're sold online in the Netherlands at imicrodose.nl. This is part of a paid three-month partnership. Todd's the CEO of this company for reals now. A 100 million market cap, and obviously so proud of the work he's doing. They're a publicly traded company. That's why we have to tell you this. On the CSE, their ticker symbol is TRIP. On this side of the world, you can be part of a movement that Red Light has created at imicrodose.ca. Todd will be back this week. We'll talk more with Todd about the world of psilocybin and micro dosages.
And did you know?
No.
Every day, more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Health Canada-approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctor's offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. And every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. So join millions of Ontarians.
Ontario.
That's what we are. Ontarians. And get your shot. Come on, wake up. Don't be silly. Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccine.
Yeah, we got to book it out of here. Dan, thanks very much. Dan, just hang around for a second while I do. I got a couple questions for you.
All right.
Phil, thank you very much. Fred, thanks to Bill Brio and everyone on Facebook. We'll check in with you tomorrow.
Stay hydrated.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Dan.
This episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, the Chambers Plan, Clear Air Solutions, Palm La Pasta, Safe Tech Security, NextHome.ca, Red Light Holland, City Parent, and our newest sponsor, Health Gauge, providing digital solutions to improve health outcomes. We stream to the planet from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfred.com.
Destination, a little up the road from the habitations and the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low, the jigsaw jazz in the...